Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Lord Onyx, and all the hosts 7 nights a week for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio. Under a Shady Tree with Lord Terry and Lord Onyx. Come on in, grab a glass of sweet iced tea and sit right down. These Southern Pagan boys are about to start their talk. Here's Lord Terry and Lord Onyx.
And good evening, everybody. This is Reverend Terry Power, and you are under a shady tree with Terry and Robin. Hey, darling, how are you doing tonight?
I am doing very well, sweetheart. I survived a shopping trip with a preteen girl, so I'm doing good.
Oh, lovely. Yeah, well, I won't ask you what all you got because, you know, it's too close to Christmas for me to be asking silly questions. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, we didn't do any shopping for you anyway.
Oh, okay. Well, then it's safe for me to ask you.
Yeah. With her turn.
All right. It was her turn. Well, good deal. So, are you experiencing this? I mean, I'm 7 hours away on this project. Are you experiencing the same warm over there that we are over here?
Yeah, it's kind of a little bit warmer than it normally would be, and in the fog, we still have that pea soup fog going on here.
Oh, special. Yeah, well, it was just about shirt sleeve weather here today, except for down on the third level of the garage, sub-basement below the, you know, where the main head end for this project is. But anyway, it's supposed to just keep getting warmer all the way through the weekend.
Oh, cool.
Hopefully I'll be home to experience some of that with y'all.
That would be
anyway.
Nice.
Yeah. So anyway... we could sit around and talk about the weather, or we could talk to our guests.
That might be a good idea.
Yeah. So we have with us tonight Tish Owen from Tennessee, author and event organizer, and I think one of the editors. Are you one of the editors with Green Egg, Tish? Is it, or
I am one of the editors with Green Egg.
Okay. So,
we have several.
Anyway,
we need all the help we can get.
Well, see, all of those hats and more. With us tonight is Tish Owen. So,
hi y'all. I feel like I'm down home. I can say y'all, and nobody thinks it sounds funny.
Nope.
Yeah. Well, she's used to me saying y'all, so it's all good.
And
so
he puts up with me when I say Long Island, because I'm from New York.
Island.
Long Island.
You don't say that, because your grandmother would come up out of her grave and hurt you.
She probably would, yeah. My grandmother was raised in a convent, and you were not allowed to have an accent, a New York accent. That was not acceptable. So.
Well, my daddy was from Brooklyn, so.
Ah, there you go. Everybody came through Brooklyn.
Yeah, well, they did. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Came through Ellis Island. So.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have a not as, I was doing a radio show a couple of weeks ago, and he said, until you said you're trying, I didn't even know you had a southern accent.
I get told a lot of times I don't have any accent. So.
But yeah, but you do. I can hear it.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
I hear it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's good. That's good, because I don't want to completely lose my southern.
Well, when you said southern, you hadn't lost it.
I said it that way on purpose, by the way. But anyway. All right. So Tish, we were talking briefly in the screening room, and you just got a ton of things going on. You know, last year you had had your first fiction. I mean, we talk to a lot of authors that do books on magic or books on spells and books on this and that. But the one thing that has always fascinated me personally is writing fiction. I have all these stories in my mind, but when it comes to writing dialogue, it always sounds so wooden. And I'm fascinated by anybody that can write fiction. So tell us a little bit about the A Death on Sunday and the new book that's coming out.
A Death on Sunday is a murder mystery, and it's got a little bit of it's got a paranormal twist, because my protagonist, my heroine, sees dead people, talks to dead people, and kind of helps her in her investigation. And you know, it's funny, because I've always kind of scribbled and written, my whole life, really. And one night, it's so silly, I dreamt, I had this great, long, fabulous dream, and I got up the next morning and I started writing, and I wrote and wrote and wrote and wrote, and then I realized that it was not just a story, not just a dream, but it was a book. And so I just started writing it and started adding to it. And fiction is one of those funny things where you have a lot of people that inhabit your brain, and they are having their own lives outside of you, and you write it down, and it works out okay. Well, it works out okay for me. And I enjoyed the whole idea of writing this. And what's so funny is, to me, what's funny as a pagan is, My heroine, her name is Tess, and she's a good Catholic girl from a large Catholic family, and they go to Mass on Sunday and the whole nine yards, and that just cracked me up as it was being written, as I was dictating it out of wherever, the ether, where it comes from. And she has six siblings, she's the youngest of seven, and I have no siblings, and so that was an interesting sort of thing for me to write. And I enjoyed, you know, it's really, fiction is weird. It kind of unfolds in front of you, under your fingers, as you're typing, or at least it does for me. And, I mean, I go back and edit, because the thing about writing is, when you're on a roll and you're writing your story, you're not paying attention to consistency. So your person might have a red shirt on, and the next, not in the, even the next scene, but down the road a little bit, her shirt is now green, and you just don't see it. That's why editors are so important. And I have great editors that make me look good. So it's been interesting. I love it, and I've got a couple of more how-to books, spiritual books, if you will, that I'm working on. But I'm trying to get, I've got about four projects that I'm writing, and I kind of bounce around from one to the other. And I have a new fiction book. I turned it off to the publisher. It's the second in the series, and so it's about tests. and it's a whole brand new murder for her to deal with. And I had a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun writing her because she gets to do all the things, you know, that the rest of us can't do. You know, she gets to shoot at people, and you know, she gets to be in physical confrontations. You know, so she, you know, she's fun to write. I enjoy her. But the second one is,
I'm
sorry.
Yeah, my question is, how do you, you know, if it's a murder mystery, I mean, if she can talk to dead people, why doesn't she just talk to the victim and find out who did it and go from there?
Well, they don't always show up.
Oh, okay.
I mean, dead people have their own agenda, babe, and
I would think a dead murder victim would want their story told.
Well, in the first one, she does talk to the murder victim.
Oh, okay.
But as he reminds her when she wants to know, you know, some things about it, is that, you know, just because he's dead doesn't mean he's omnipotent. He's just dead.
Oh.
And so he can't tell her, you know, like he didn't see the person that shot him, so he didn't know who it was because, you know, he's dead.
Gotcha.
And, yeah, so they don't, they're some help, but they're not as much help as you would sometimes like them to be. They don't always come forward with the information that you really need, which is a frustrating thing for her, but that kind of adds to the drama.
Right. If they knew who the murderer was, it would be a short book.
It'd be a short book. It'd be 3 pages, and nobody will publish it. So it could be a really short story, I suppose.
Yeah,
so
I guess
it's
so.
Just, yeah, it's so much fun to do. I really like it. It's probably, you know, it's probably the favorite thing that I do is to sit down and write and try and squeeze out the time because I've got a shop in Nashville, and I've got my mother lives with me. She'll be 99 years old tomorrow.
Woohoo, happy birthday.
Yes, indeed. Happy birthday to Lorraine. We'll shout out for her. And, you know, I have a husband, and I have my mother's dog and 2 cats, and so trying to get to that place where I can spend an hour putting, you know, throwing words at the screen is not always an easy thing to do. And that frustrates me a little bit, that I can't put as much time into writing as I'd like to.
Yeah, I can imagine so. I love to write, and I used to write a lot more articles.
Mm-hmm.
I used to write an article on every Sabbath, and I had a whole series of stuff that I wrote about clergy ethics. In fact, you know, you mentioned Green Egg. Oberon actually attended one of my workshops and had spoken with me at one time about putting a bunch of the stuff in Green Egg as a series. But
right.
Then he and I both got busy and you know, moved on from there. But I've spoken with him a few times. He was on the show, about 4 or 5 months ago. He came
you
on
know,
and talked with us
about
this.
You're still interested in submitting, dear. You know, we do take submissions all the time. So, and we're doing Green Egg.
Okay.
We're doing four editions. Or 4 issues, I guess, 4 year. So, yeah, love for you to submit.
Okay, well, I guess that's something we'll talk about off the air. I've got your
yes, it will.
The phone number you called in from is a good number to call you?
It's the perfect number.
Okay. All right. Well, we will we'll jump on that. And speaking of numbers to call in. The number to call in and join the party tonight, if you want to come hang out with us under the shady tree, the number is 646-564-9714. Again, that is 646-564-9714. And when the nice lady with a British accent gets finished talking to you, and you can hear the show, then you hit the 1 button, and it'll throw up a little flag in the switchboard and let us know that you want to talk. Otherwise, we're going to presume that you're one of our listeners that can't get to the computer tonight and just called in to listen. Because we do have some of those. Now, we have some listeners that can't get to the computer at this time of the day, so they'll just call into the guest line and listen to the show. And that's perfectly
cool.
Then if you throw up, if you hit the warrant button, you can throw up a flag and we'll see that you want to talk. So anyway, with that said, now I know that you also, you had mentioned the book on hosting festivals, and you were saying that you
right.
were putting in some new edits. Talk
right.
about that book a little bit, because that's something that's near and dear to Robin and I's heart.
Well, it's called Chasing the Rainbow, and I wrote it about 6 years ago, I guess. And I'm a facilitator of Pagan Unity Festival, which is in Middle Tennessee in Burns, which is down the road from Nashville. And 1 year we were kind of sitting around with some of our VIPs, and that was the year we had Isaac Bonowitz with us, and he was so delightful. And he and Merv Sellers and Dorothy Morrison, and we were just kind of shooting the breeze like one night at the festival, and they said, you know, you do this really well. You do the festival thing really well. And, of course, I was like, oh, thank you so much. You know, because they had done a lot. They've done a lot of festivals. And so to have those people say you do a good job is pretty – it kind of makes your head a little bit big, you know. And so they said, you know, you need to write a book. You need to write a book about festivals. And I thought, okay. And I started kind of throwing some words out, and I rewrote it. I literally deleted and rewrote it 3 times before I was relatively happy with it. And it basically has, you know, how to do it. How to feed people, how to herd them around, how to house them if that's what you need to do, how to entertain them, how to find VIP speakers to come in and other people to come and do workshops and get people to do ritual and just basically get people to all kind of hang together for a weekend without anybody losing their minds and being crazy, which is a hard job. Anybody who's run a festival will tell you if you've got all these personalities, and sometimes people come with grudges, and you've got to diffuse those situations. And so you're a combination cruise ship, you know, entertainment director and psychologist, and sometimes you have to be a little bit of a cop. Although I will tell you that we don't have a lot of that problem. You know, we've got guys in security, and a couple of years ago I added some new guys that had worked a festival in their neck of the woods. And so after it was, and I said, this is an easy gig. There's not a lot of problems. Keep people from falling into the bonfire. That's probably the biggest job you have. And on Sunday morning, after everybody had left and we were cleaning up, and they said, man, you weren't kidding. This was really easy. We expected it to be a lot harder because it's so much bigger. And I said, yeah, because I told you it's not a hard job. So. But we're hitting in the neighborhood of, I think we had 427, 28 people last year. And, you know, it goes smooth. The main thing that when you run a festival is you don't let anybody know when your hair is on fire.
That's it, exactly. Never let them see you
quit. You keep calm and put the fire out and keep on going.
Yep. Yeah, I did it for 10 years, so.
What festival did you do?
Mid-Atlantic Pagan Alliance Pagan Beltane event in New Jersey.
Wow, okay. So you know the drama and the trauma of what you can
Yeah, we can swap horror stories someday.
No, I don't really have any horror stories, and that's the beauty of it.
Yeah,
I have very few. I have a couple, but not very many. And, you know, our job, which is a lake on this site, we use a public park.
Yes, it is.
A park. And there's a lake, and the lake is beautiful. Except that it's full of snapping turtles.
Yeah.
And so we discourage people from going swimming because they will get their dangly bits bitten off if they're not careful.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And does having the lake up your event insurance? I know that was always an issue with the event insurance if we went to a place that had water.
Our insurance is pretty comprehensive, and it's worked out really fine. We have had very few. We've never, thank God, not wood, never ever had to use our insurance. But you know, it's nice to have it. I didn't put insurance in play until probably about the fifth year of the festival when I was walking across the site and realized that I didn't know all the people that I was meeting as I crossed the festival grounds.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, okay, we might want to cover ourselves here. So.
Yeah, so, from the get-go, our park required us to have it. And I actually found a really inexpensive event insurance guy online that, if you're interested, you know, PM me and I'll send it to you.
Yes, I'd love for you.
Eventhelper.com. My insurance for the event used to be about $1,200 to $1,400 for 4 days, and he cut it down to like $240. Same exact coverage. Yeah. Same exact coverage.
Oh,
so
I was.
Yeah. So I was like,
oh,
yes.
Wow. Yes.
So I can wholeheartedly recommend EventHelper.com.
EventHelper.com. And you know what? We'll talk, or you can send me that. I think if you have my email. If not, I will give you my email.
Okay.
Because I am very interested. That would be delightful.
Yeah.
What was your date? What was your gate?
We ran around 3 to 3. The site that we used in the park maxed out at about 380 people. So we usually ran around 300 to 350.
But that's comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we do 4, we did 427, I think, 428.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that was.
And
oh
that was
God.
Camping. That was camping. We didn't count day trippers into that number because we only cared about bodies who were sleeping on the site. So.
Exactly. Where are you going to put them?
Exactly.
That's always a challenge. And we have cabins on our site, and so it's a little more complicated that, you know, I've got a spreadsheet, right, that this person is in cabin 14 and that person's in cabin 14. And I try not to screw that up. That's my nightmare going toward PUP is that I've oversold my cabin.
Mm-hmm.
And people have nowhere to sleep, so that's my a recurring nightmare.
Yep.
But
I
so
sympathize.
Far, so good. We'll knock wood on that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have a lot of campers, too, and then we have a lot of day trippers.
Yeah. I had a similar problem, but we had only 3 cabins. And then you would get, like, the presenters who needed to be indoors because of their, you know, advanced age or health issue.
Right.
And each cabin slept 4 people, so I would have to bunk people together, and it was sort of like trying to plan a wedding. Well, this one won't sleep in the same cabin with that one, and this one can't sit next to that one at the wedding because it was a lot of fun. So, yeah.
So far, I've been really fortunate there, too.
Yeah.
But, you know, I try to not have presenters that hate each other the same year, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you have to keep up with the politics that we like, too.
Oh, yeah.
It's always a good plan.
It's actually how Terry and I first met.
At an event?
I contacted him to come and speak at my event.
Talk to me on Facebook.
Well,
I did. I stalked him on Facebook. I was looking for presenters on Facebook.
You got it for Facebook, right?
Yeah.
I'm not sure what we did without it or before
it. Yeah, it's a great tool.
Is a great tool.
Yes,
because,
she,
I mean,
look,
we,
she stalked me. She hunted me down on Facebook and asked me, you know, sent me a message, asked me if I would be willing to speak at her event. And we got on the phone for the first time, and we were on the phone for over 3 hours.
That's true.
And then about 2 years later, we started dating. We worked together. We continued. You know, we worked together on different projects. I had her on the radio station before even we started. Before we became a couple.
Yeah.
Right.
And you know, it just kind of grew out of that. But the cool thing about us was it grew out of a partnership, a friendship, and all of that that grew up before it became romantic. And so. You know, we have a whole lot of history together already before we ever became romantic.
And
you know, that makes
for romance.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. That adds a good foundation on which for us to build a life together.
Absolutely. I don't know that people realize how important that is. You've got to have stuff in common, and, you know, the old adage about opposites attract, yes, they do, but it's usually disastrous. And so... to have some commonality, I think, is very important. It's vital.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just got a text from our mutual friend, Nivasi. telling me that you know my neighbor.
I do?
Owl?
Yeah.
Jackie and I have been friends for 20 years.
Oh, my God. I love her.
Yep. She's right next door. I'll tell her you said hello.
Please do tell her I said hello, because, you know, every
she
now and then I'll hear
something. She might be listening. Sometimes she listens.
She might be. She is. I'm waving at her.
Okay. I've had her on the show a couple times.
Yeah, she's great fun.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she presented it.
Yeah, and usually you have her on Monday nights when you have her on the show.
That's true, yeah. Jackie has been my mentor and teacher for over about 20 years now. And Terry and I have kind of hived off her coven tradition here on the mountain. So it's funny that you and I don't know each other, but we know lots of the same people, apparently.
You know,
all that event presenting stuff.
It's a small world. It's funny because my husband has people in Memphis. That's where his family is. And we have a great niece, well, she's not so new. She's a year old. And I posted a picture of her where she was wearing a Minion cap. It was just one of those cute pictures, you know. And I posted or shared it, actually, on my page. And one of my pagan guys, who's actually one of my security guys for Puff, commented on it and said, oh, I know her dad. And, you know, isn't that funny how worlds collide? So
yeah.
It was always interesting to see how things come together. And, you know, the whole 6 degrees of separation is very true, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. So, let's see. We are at about 26 after. I usually don't take a break this early. I usually wait another few minutes, but it seems like we maybe have hit a good stopping point between topics. And I do want to remind people that we are taking calls tonight at 646-564-9714. And again, if you want to talk to us or join the conversation here under the tree, you just got to wait for the British lady to quit talking, and then you'll be able to hear the show, and then hit the one button on your keyboard of whatever device you are using, and a flag will go up in the switchboard and allow us to know that you want to talk on the radio with us. So, with that said, maybe I've killed enough time. Now we're going to play a song by Emerald Rose tonight called Dagger of the Moon. Everybody stick around. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Okay.
That invests the storm, a cavern in spring and fall, with its cadence and starlight, the blistered palm holding its tomb. And would you still stand here, cock alone, with the baying of blood-eared hounds, and suffer facing the serpent's bite, the dagger of the moon? Sing the heart of the water, shape the dun clay, see the fire, sink on the wind, spread your wings and fly high. Let the mirror call you, touch your doorway, no desire, but open it not, lest you surely die. play, see the fire. Think on the wind, spread your wings and fly high. Let the mirror call you. Touch your doorway, no desire. But open it not, lest you surely die. Cauldron crowing and dancing a secret round. On cloven step the circle spoke in salted sands and tidal runes. And hear a song that enchants the storm of dormant and bring it now. Beyond the clock of astral smoke, without the strident clock writes tune. Open your eyes and let it fall. The dagger of the moon.
Perfect manifestations of that power.
And as such, we pray. We pray for peace. We pray for love. We pray for stability. We pray for the nation in which we live. We pray for the world.
We will it. We manifest it. We draw it to us. We receive it. We accept it. And we give thanks for it. And by our will, so mote it be.
To Terry and Onyx on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. We're glad you're here. And now, back to the show.
We'll move you to Virginia.
And welcome back, everybody. You are under a shady tree with Terry and Robin. And we're joined tonight by Tish Owen. So, Tish, how you doing in there?
I'm all right.
And, Robin, you made it back?
I am here as well. Yes, I am, dear.
All right. It's another great day, a great night on Blog Talk Radio when everybody makes it back from the break. Because, you know, each yard has moments. So,
to say the least.
Before the break, we were talking with Tish about some books that she's got, some fiction stuff, and a book on hosting events. Also, there's a few more things that I wanted to touch on. Now, Tish, I understand you've been doing some. Or you're trying to become a TV and radio personality and such.
I don't know if I'm trying to, but, you know, I've gotten some opportunities that were cool. And in Tennessee, we have a great legend, and it's the legend of the Bell Witch. So if you've ever lived in this area, it's in Adams, Tennessee, and it's a little town. And, you know, supposedly the Bell family was harassed, haunted by
something, whether it was a ghost or whatever. And some people think that one of the neighbors, there was an issue with this tape bat, and that she was the one that put a curse on the family, and John Bell died horribly, and there's all these just myriad of stories about this. And people go out to the property, and they go in the Bellwitch cave, and they scare themselves stupid. And so, you know, there's a book, and it's a little red book, and it's the Legend of the Bellwitch, or the Bellwitch. And every 15-year-old girl in Tennessee got a copy of it for her birthday, you know, because everybody had to read about it so we could scare ourselves. And so I got a call some months ago from a producer for a new show, a 5-part series that they were doing on the Bellwitch called Curse on A&E. And we talked about curses, and we talked about the Bellwitch and this and that and whatnot. And so after we had talked for probably an hour, she said, well, we need to make a date, make a time that we can come in and film. And I said, excuse me? Because I thought she was just picking my brain. And they came in, and they spent about 8 hours altogether in my shop. We filmed for about 6, and we talked about curses and, you know, were hereditary curses possible, and the Bellwitch thing, and we just, they were really very cool, and, you know, you never know how, as a pagan, you're going to be treated. And I thought they treated me very, very well. I was really pleased with the outcome of it. I got literally about 6 minutes, which is a whole lot on national television. And we had a little bit of a party at one of the restaurants for the screening, because they had, you know, they've got big TV monitors all around, and we could sit on the deck and watch it. And so I invited friends, and my husband said, well, honey, what if it's terrible? And I said, well, honey, I have 2 words for you, national exposure. And so it wasn't horrible. It was actually quite, like I said, I was just kind of tickled with it. And it's called Curse, and it's on A&E. It's The Legend of the Bellwitch, and you can still look at it and see. I'm in the second episode, just so I can plug myself. But it was great fun, and I'd never done television on that level. I mean, they had probably 20 people as a crew in my shop, which is my shop ain't that big. And they, you know, they had camera guys, and they had directors, and they had prop guys and makeup guys, and 3 cameramen and lighting people. And, I mean, it was quite a production. And that was, it was fun. And yeah, if somebody wants me to do something like that again, I'm game. Call me. I'll make time in my schedule for it. But I'm, you know, I've got a lot. And then I got the art, because of the first show, I got got to be on Art Bell. And Art Bell, for those of us who are old enough, used to be the host of a show called Coast to Coast. And it was on at midnight, and it was, I don't even know how many channels he carried. And he talked to, you know, all the supernatural stuff and the UFO guys and the Bigfoot guys and everybody. And he gave that show up several years ago and gave it to another guy. And now he has a new show, and it's called Midnight in the Desert. And I got to do like 3 hours in the middle of the night with Art Bell. And he's brilliant. He's a brilliant interviewer. I mean, he never has a moment of dead air. He asks the right questions. He propels the conversation along. I mean, he's something that anybody who does radio ought to study. He's just a bomb. And I had a great time. And so I'm very, you know, hopeful and totally open to him calling me back and saying, come back on, because I would be happy to do that. So and then I've gotten some, you know, shows like your show and probably about 4 or 5 other shows that I've done since. That was the end of October, I think. It's all kind of blended together. And, you know, I love radio. I worked in radio years and years ago in Nashville. And radio is my very favorite medium. I love it. I think it's so much fun. And podcasts, I think, are great because you don't have to watch every word that you say. You have to, you know, you can kind of put yourself out there and be who you are. So that's my media credentials so far.
All right. Well, that's a very good start and very cool. Now, you were also talking about your shop, so why don't you tell us a little bit about your shop and here's a chance to plug yourself.
I have a shop in Nashville, and it's called The Goddess and the Moon, and I have all the regular stuff and candles and incense and jewelry and whatnot, and we make our own line of candles that are based on my spell book, spell it correctly. I'll plug myself. And the recipes that we use for our candles and for our oils all come out of that book. So we have candles that are specifically for spells, for banishing and healing and protection and all the rest. So I've taken the spell book and I've just created the candle line out of the spell book. And those are extremely popular, I must say. And we put a lot of effort into them, and they're all charged with great energy, and they all have a stone in them and stuff. And that's fun. I mean, it's fun to. I love making candles. It's very enjoyable. But we do. I do reading in past life regressions, and we have somebody that comes in, does Reiki, and so we have the full boat, as it were, of metaphysical offerings. And Nashville is a pretty big town. It's about 1 million people. And we have a decent, not just pagan population, but people who are open to, something beyond what they normally deal with. And so we make all right with it. We're pretty happy with it. We can always make more money, but it's good.
Yeah, well, very cool. Well, if you're ever in Nashville, go check out the shop there. You said Goddess in the Moon?
Goddess in the Moon, Nashville, Tennessee.
All right. Now, last thing I wanted to talk with you about as we start toward the wrapping this up, and we had mentioned in the first half hour about Green Egg.
Right.
And Green Egg's been around for, forevermore. And,
47 years. I'm not sure, but don't quote me on it, but that's somewhere close in that neighborhood.
Yeah, that's a while in the pagan community, that's for certain.
Oh, yeah. And okay, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. I was just going to ask your involvement and... how are you involved with your...
Because I'm too crazy and can't say no, and I believe in Green Egg, and I wanted to see it continue, because it is... it's a great. It was the first, and I'd like to see that legacy continue. And Oberon is a good friend, and so he was cool with me coming on board. And we do it now four issues a year, and we do it on the major holidays. We've got one coming up for Yule. And it's electronic because we really have not found an economical way to make a paper copy of it. So it's an electronic. We've got several people who helped to edit the article, and thank God for them. And I have to say, Sylvie and she is kind of the head person. She puts it all together, and it looks great as an electronic, a download. It's been fun to do, and it's really, I love that being able to participate in this part of history, part of pagan history. So that's really why I said yes to it, because I just thought it's something that, I'll help however I can to continue putting articles out there and giving pagan authors the opportunity to actually write and be in a magazine. And so it's beneficial across the board, and we do a podcast, but we only do our podcast every other week, and thank goodness, because and it's always fun. We have the guests, and much like we're doing tonight, we just talk trash and just have kind of as much fun as possible doing it. So that's been very enjoyable. I've really liked it. We've had some great guests on, and so it's nice to see this legacy continue.
Indeed. Yeah, I can I can remember from the first time I started getting involved in the community, and, you know, my involvement was now about 20-something years ago.
You know, right.
Green Egg was was kind of the standard. Everybody just talked about Green Egg. You know,
absolutely.
That was,
right.
And, you know, to know that that continues and has that kind of, you know, anchors the community in so many ways, because everybody knows what it is, and that's just, it's very cool that that continues.
Yeah,
the community thing was that kind of longevity.
Well, she has, Sylvie has all the copies, all the original physical paper copies that Green Egg has ever produced. She has a copy of every one of them. And so one of the things that she's done to kind of tie the old and the new together is she puts one article from one of the old magazine issues in our current issue. And I think that's kind of neat to kind of see how things have changed or evolved in the last 40 years, and it shows us where we've come from. I think that that's one of the things that young pagans need to understand, is where we come from. Who were the people that started this? Who do we owe our,
mm-hmm.
at least our thanks to,
yeah.
for getting this rolling?
Right.
And so that's...
Well, is there any move toward getting them all scanned and...
I think that's what she's doing.
Okay.
And of course, it's, you know, you're talking, gosh, I have to sit down with a pencil and do the math to see how many issues. I mean, it just takes time. So. But they'll all be saved
right.
for posterity. And that's, you know, that's an excellent legacy.
Absolutely.
Proud to be a part of it.
Awesome.
Well, very cool. Well, I want to say, you know, thank you, Tish, for coming on the show tonight. This has been a great deal of fun.
Well, thanks.
And
I loved it.
Was there anything else that you wanted to talk about? We've got just a few minutes left before we have to start into our standard how you get in touch with us and that sort of thing.
Well, one of the other things that I've done that I think is important is that we are, you know, we're taking little tiny baby steps toward to being a church, to having a church, a pagan church. And I think that's something whose time has come. And if we're going to be not accepted, that's not the word I want. If we're going to be have credibility as a faith, then I think that the church idea is the way of the future, and that's just my opinion. You can do whatever you want to with it. And so we have come in under the umbrella of a prayer and tabernacle church. And I started talking to Pete Pathfinder, who was the founder of Aquarian Tabernacle, before his passing. And he kind of talked me into it. And it has been, you know, like I said, taking little steps, little baby steps. But our goal is to be able to not just say, hey, look, we've got a church, ha-ha, but also to actually do some good in the community. And we have. We've done a lot. With not very much, and not having a brick and mortar, you know, building. And that's one of the things that for 2016 is my goal, is that we manage to have a brick and mortar building that we can work out of and help people and be able to hand out clothes and food and all the things that people need. So that has been it's been very interesting. We went under Aquarian Tabernacle because we could get more easily our 501c3, which we have to the state of Tennessee, but we also have a federal tax ID number as well, and that's not an easy thing to get. You know, Christopher Pinzak, and he started his own church, and he's like, oh, it's a nightmare. It's a nightmare to do all the paperwork for the IRS and jump through all those hoops. But
yep.
for us, with Aquarian Tabernacle, it's a done deal. Yeah, we've talked about what a real pain it is to do all that. So it was the easy route, and Yeah, and not one that I'm, you know, I'm glad that we've done it, and so far we're happy, and we're just kind of plugging along and trying to, you know, find a home where we're a church, and then we need a home.
Understood.
So we've actually played with the idea of maybe, because I've got, you know, I've got friends that are, you know, kind of big noses and have a lot of followers, and they say, when you're really ready to jump, yeah, we'll help you. We'll spread the word. So I'm really kind of playing with the idea of doing a, in 2016, early 2016, of doing a GoFundMe or one of those, Indiegogo, one of those, and see if we can raise enough money to actually get a home for our little church. And
yeah, well,
I think our little church will grow by leaps and bounds if we do that.
That sounds
very
like
cool.
A wonderful plan.
That's kind of exciting too. That's very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, indeed.
That's all. Can't think of anything else.
Tomorrow's my mother's birthday.
Oh well, happy birthday, Mom.
Happy birthday, Mom. And so, happy Yule to y'all.
Mm-hmm. And to
and,
you.
We'll
it's so
using,
nice having you all. You know, while we were talking, I took the liberty of going out to one of your pages, Tish, and looking at your picture and realized that you and I have probably met years ago, I think.
Where?
Caduceus Festival in New Jersey?
No.
No? Never?
I've not
Maybe.
Been north. I've done Florida Pagan is one of the big festivals, and I have not really had the opportunity to go north. And right now, with my mom... I'm not doing much traveling, so that's why I love doing the podcast and whatnot, because she gets, you know, she's 99. She's in really good shape, but she gets nervous if I'm out of pocket. So the only thing I'm doing right now is I'm doing my festival, and that's bad enough, because I'm gone a week. You know, we go out early and we stay late, and you have to, you know, get the sitters and everything to kind of get her squared away. And so she worries the whole time if I'm okay.
Yeah.
And so not doing a lot of traveling, sticking close to home. But no, I've not been. I really on my list down the road when I'm able. You know, there's a list of festivals I want to attend just for the guests, so I can come and play and cause trouble.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Yeah.
We were at. Florida Pagan Gathering last May.
I love Florida Pagan.
We were invited down to do a couple of workshops, and we had a blast.
Yeah.
So
it was a lot of fun.
The last time I was there, Murph Sellers got me in trouble. So. There was something about stolen golf carts. I don't know. But I don't know if I can go back. There was something about a stolen fire pit. I don't know. I don't remember really well all of it, but yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it was his fault, because everything is Murph's fault.
All right. Well, Tish, how does somebody get in touch with you if you... if they want to ask you any more questions about the stuff we talked about.
Well, you know what? My email is Tish, @gmail.com. My website for Goddess in the Moon is goddessinthemoon.com. And Pagan Unity Festival is paganunityfestival.org. And so any of those will get to me.
Okay.
Excellent.
Yeah. It kind of is.
Very cool.
It kind of is.
Well, Robin, how do people get in touch with us?
Yeah.
Well, they can reach us at littlestonebridge@gmail.com or at our Little Stone Bridge Pathworkings Facebook page, and on that page you can reach us specifically to talk to us about any kind of workshops or personal counseling that you may want to have us come and do. We do workshops on many varying topics. If you're somebody who'd like to be on the show as a guest, you can also reach us through that. Or you can get in touch with us at the radio station at surncern.org. I always screw this one up, Terry. CERN.org@gmail.com.
Hey, you always say you screw it up and then you get it right.
I know. I don't know what it is. I have a mental block about that one. I'm not quite sure why. or you can get in touch with me on my personal Facebook page, Robin A. McKean, on Facebook. I believe I'm the only one. And, Terry, what Facebook page are you having people contact you at?
Well, the Friends page, just my regular, normal, everyday run-of-the-mill page, is just Terry Power. There's no S on the end of it, just Terry Power. And because there are several people with my name, Lucky Devil, you have to look for the one in North Copley, Pennsylvania. Or you can find my public figure page, which is Rev Terry Power HP, and that will take you to the public figure page, and from there you can find the Friends page. Or you can follow me on Twitter at Rev Terry Power HP. So that's about it. Yeah, and you know, Robin mentioned you know, speaking at festivals and stuff. I think we've already got three festivals that are being tentatively planned for next year that we've been speaking with organizers. So if you're out there in the world and wanna talk with us about a festival for next year, get in touch with us soon, because we're starting to get crowded. And we also just come speak to you. Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. Time to get with us.
Sure.
Yes.
I'm sorry, I stepped all over him. We're having Selena Fox for Pubs
this
year
Selena.
In May.
Yeah, we used to have her.
This is her first time in the South, so we're pretty excited about it.
Oh, she's. Let me tell you something. She is one of the most lovely human beings I've ever met, and she will make herself so available and so helpful and just right there to just, she makes herself so much a part of your event. She will be a wonderful addition. We had her three times. As a matter of fact, I have a picture of her holding my daughter when she was born, and she's now 10. So, yeah. You'll have a great time with Selena. She's an easy, easy presenter.
I cannot wait. I'm very excited. Okay.
Well, thanks again, Tish, for being with us. It's been a great night. I've enjoyed this a lot. Thanks to all of our listeners. Thanks to all of our listeners, whether you are listening live to us right now or whether you're listening to us live when you download the show and listen in the archives. Remember, time is but an illusion, so you're here with us right now anyway. and we are honored that you are taking time out of your schedule to share it with us. You have a lot of choices about how to spend your time, and you chose to spend it with us, and we are honored and thrilled to have you with us. So with that, my lady, did you have any final comments?
No, I just wanted to thank Tish for coming. It's delightful talking to her, and I hope to see you. I was just popping over to the festival page to see if maybe we could swing a trip out to Nashville and check out her festival, but I don't know about that time of year. It's a busy time of year for us, but we'll see if what we can work out.
Well, maybe I hope that we cross paths somewhere at some festival and soon.
Absolutely.
Outstanding. Look forward to it. All right. Well,
thank you so
everyone,
much.
You're quite welcome. It has been great. You have a wonderful evening, and let's wish everyone a week filled with love and with wonder. Good night, everyone, and blessed be.
Blessed be.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.